Our gospel today is from the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 31, found on page 807 in your pew Bible. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it for me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also answered, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These past 3 weeks, we've been working our way through the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel. We heard the parable of the 10 virgins, and the message there is live expectantly, like Jesus is going to return. So be ready. We heard last Sunday about the parable of the talents, to live responsibly and live joyfully in the grace that God has given to us and he entrusts us with, and he blesses us with his provision and abundance. And then the chapter ends with today's parable, the sheep and the goats, which in very short ways says, live compassionately, live compassionately. Today is Christ the King Sunday. We know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father and that he is coming again. He is the King, and he is the King in this parable. These parables all point to the fact that that a judgment is coming, and the good news is that everyone will be judged, but only those whose name is not written in the book of life will be punished. So those who are in Christ, we can rest assured in the judgment. But these are very serious parables. The way that this is interpreted oftentimes, say at a Bible camp, is through a skit. Maybe you've seen it or heard it, where there is a person who gets a phone call, and it's Jesus on the other end of the line. And Jesus says, "I'm coming to your house today, get ready." And so the person is busy getting ready, and there's a knock at the door. And it's a person that is a neighbor wanting to get some food. And the response to this neighbor is, "I'm busy. I've got someone important coming. I don't have time for you today." And slams the door in their face. Same comes with someone that needs borrow an outfit. Another person comes that's hurt and sick. And the same response, he slams the door on them. And finally, the phone rings again. And the man answers and he says, I'm waiting for you, Jesus. When are you coming?" And the response is, "Well, I've already been there four times and you didn't open the door." That's really in jest what this parable is about. But the amazing thing about when you heard it today, the thing that always stands out to me is that both parties, both the sheep, those who are doing the will of God, and those who miss out, the goats, have the same question. They say, Lord, when did we see you naked or in prison or hungry or thirsty? They didn't even know what they did, those that are righteous. They didn't even know what they did. And the word for that is that they acted in mercy. They acted in mercy. They saw a need, and they went to fill that need as best they could. Mercy is the kind and compassionate treatment of a person under one's power. So a mercy is giving someone what they need, something that you could affect, that you can change. You could give to that person something good. You could give them kindness or food or whatever they need. That's showing mercy. That's one thing the followers of Jesus have done very well with over the years. In fact, I don't know that I've ever been in a city that doesn't have a hospital named Mercy. In fact, Mercy is one of the greatest names of hospitals around the world. Mercy Hospital. It's not just a trademark. It's explaining and showing that Jesus calls us to show mercy. In fact, you see hospitals all around the world that are built by Christians, because that is what God commends us and compels us to do. Acts of mercy. You know the late Mother Teresa. She became famous for showing mercy to the dying and the poorest of the poor in India. She showed compassion, she served Jesus, and she showed us that's what the gospel is sitting with those who have no one to love them. What holds us back from showing mercy? What's hold us back from this idea of showing compassion, living compassionately? I think it's two things. First, the endless discussion about works and good deeds. When should we? What's enough? How should we do it? We have a lot of conversation around that, whether we should do works or not do works. What do they show? But I think the main thing that holds us back is a small word, fear. Fear. Rick Warren says this about Christians, that they're a lot like manure. When they're all piled together, they kind of smell. But when you spread them out, then they can do some good. I think that's really true. When we spread out in the world, we can do some good. And God works through us, and we can get a lot accomplished. Last Sunday, I spoke about this mystery of grace, which is the talents or the bags of gold given to servants who are not really credible, or maybe they didn't have the gifts to really do what they needed to do with that gold, and yet the master entrusted them with 5 bags of gold, or 2 bags of gold, or 1 bag of gold. And the bag with the gold, 1 bag of gold servant responded to the overwhelming grace of his master with fear. But the servants, other ones, went to work immediately to increase what the investment they'd been given was. And it shows how much they enjoyed the grace of God, how much they could just be full and pleased and blessed to be having God in their life. It reminds me of the verse, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us. And so we don't need to live in fear. We live in faith. The freedom to live in grace is the commodity of the 2 servants who responded in freedom, and only one responded in fear. You see, fear will lead to a static and unproductive life. My first call was at a church in Montana, and it was also the church that I grew up in. And my parents were I was associate pastor, my parents were active in the church, in the congregation. My dad was actually on the building committee of building a new church as they had outgrown their present structure. And one thing that they thought would be a wonderful gift is because it's in a ski town, Whitefish, Montana. is having a place where groups could come, like youth groups, and they could sleep over at the church, and then they could go skiing, or they could come and go to the Bible camp, or they could do retreats on campus. And so they thought, wouldn't it be great if we had a shower in the church to host these groups? Well, the plans were made, and everything was going very well, and they laid the slab, and the first thing they put on the slab was two shower stalls. And people started calling the pastor. Pastor, what are these showers doing at our church? Why are we putting in showers? This is ridiculous. You mean we're going to spend all that water for people that aren't even members of our church? Why would we ever do that? And the pastor got a lot of calls like that. And he called my dad and said, Jack, the showers need to go. My dad said, no. We're not going to get rid of the showers. We had a really good plan of using these showers to host groups and be, you know, hospitable. And so they remained. But I came and served there as an associate pastor. And to my surprise, and I'd been back and forth, but I didn't notice this until I served there, the showers were not given an entrance to a restroom. The showers were only being entered through the church office. So even if a group was staying there, no one could get into the shower because they'd have to get into the office, and that wouldn't be good to open up the office for random youth groups, etc. And so the showers became a storage unit for who knows, whatever needed to be stored in there. Fear took over. Fear, not compassion. When I was also serving at that church, we would take kids to Spokane, Washington to do like a service trip where they would interact with homeless people, and we would go to two different shelters. One was called the House of Charity, and it was a Catholic shelter that fed and clothed and helped those who were homeless, sometimes with great mental illness. And we went to also a place called Union Gospel Mission where they helped people kind of through their hard times, but also helped them with getting a GRE or GRD or, yeah, graduate of high school graduation, or helping them get a job, work on a resume, things like that. And we would serve at these shelters and hear about their ministry and what they did and the plight of the homeless, and we'd serve them lunch, and after lunch we would sit down and talk, our youth group, and ask them their observations. And they said, well, some people were really thankful. They said, thank you for the food. And other people, they didn't say anything. They were kind of grumpy. And I said, well, that's the reality of serving people. Not everyone's appreciative of what they receive. And maybe they're in a really hard place, and that's why they're having to go to a homeless shelter, obviously. About 3 o'clock that afternoon, Kaylee, one of our kids, said, you know, Pastor, we've done a lot. If I was at home today, I would still be in my pajamas. But they served the homeless. They did all these projects, and they realized that they did something good for another person, and they felt great about it. Same sort of thing happens on second Tuesday of every month as Don and Donna take a group to Pas de Cristo to serve people, or Friday's Feeding Friends ministry. Some people are thankful, and some aren't. But the point of the parable isn't to make sure people are thankful. The point of the parable is to show compassion, to show mercy, and to be a community where mercy leads us, to let mercy lead us. That's the aim. That's what Jesus is looking for. Now, we're not always going to be great at this. As Christ is merciful to us, it shows us that we too can be merciful to other people, especially where it says those in the family. So I think that helps me because it doesn't mean anyone who asks for money, I need to give them money. But we can be discerning. We can give to those in the family, give to those charities, give to those who are helping others, showing mercy. Chris and I often begin our day with a quiet time resource called Lexio 365. And it's prayerful reading, so you can get an app for it. It's free. And it reflects each day there's a daily reading on the theme. But every day the prayer ends, or the time ends with this prayer. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. I think that's a really great prayer. In fact, I'd like to close my talk, my sermon today, message today, with that prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. In spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is a challenging word, and we understand that you have high expectations of us to be people of mercy, to show compassion to those who need compassion, and Lord, to be people of kindness. Lord, give us discernment and give us strength. Help us overcome the fear that would hold us back and help us to be led in love. Jesus, we pray these things in your precious name. Amen.